It is the fourth and final hour of First Up here on this Friday morning. It's Aaron Korolnik, it's Carlo Koliakovo with you. And the Toronto Maple Leaf season concluded, 10, 12, 14 days ago? It's really hard to keep track. The time continues to tick away. The team that eliminated them, the Florida Panthers, they're on to the Stanley Cup final. And it is our treat. And I was a huge fan of Luke Shen before he came back to the Maple Leafs. Certainly was time with the Maple Leafs playing with Morgan Riley. He's been on the show a number of times. But the fact that this man is willing to wake up at 6 a.m. local time to join us here on the show makes me even a bigger fan. If that was possible, it's Luke Shen back on First Up. Luke, good morning. Very early good morning to you. Thank you for doing this for us.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's mornings get earlier and earlier these days with all the kids at home, young kids. So really doesn't make I'm typically up, you know, in soon anyway. So pleasure to be back on.
Welcome to our life where the 5:30 alarm clock is an everyday normal thing for us. But
if not earlier, yeah.
I got to ask you, I mean, what are you looking forward to most right now? Talking to us or what you're going to eat for breakfast?
Oh, you know what? I've been trying to. I'm one of those guys that have to really watch when the season ends and you don't start full summer training yet because things can slip away on me in a hurry. So I've been keeping her pretty dialed in here. But for the usually it would be breakfast. But you know, obviously love talking to you guys, Carlo. What is this? How many times do you think we've been on here? Probably five or six now.
I've lost count because every time keeps getting better and better. So it's all good. exactly. So. Take us through the last couple of weeks before we get into your time with the Leafs. What's the plan? What's it been like? Have you been going on like a Brooks Koepka or like binge ride, or have you just been making up for father time that you missed out on?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's been pretty chill. No, I mean, obviously, you have a couple nights with the boys after things end, and a couple dinners and things like that, and get together with, you know, the families and wives and, you know, the Leafs, and then kind of everyone goes their separate ways. You have your meetings, all that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, I just had to pack up the house in Toronto. And, now we're back in Vancouver here for about a week and a half, get the kids back into school a little bit, but we got to pack up the house here now. So we packed that house. Now we got to pack this house and get to Kelowna. We're joking. We're professional packers and movers lately, so we do a lot of it. But it's all part of the business, and it's been lots of moves in the last number of years. So it's like kind of what I said earlier, though. You just keep adding stuff to the house with you know, you got the kids and stuff. So the moves aren't getting easier or any easier. That's for sure. Like they were, you know, years ago. And it's just, you know, my wife and I, as you know, it's the more kids you have, the more crap you got to haul
around. Stuff you accumulate. Yeah, I know, buddy. I know when I finished, I was like, I had a house with everything in Toronto and then a house basically packed on the road. So everywhere that I would go, I would just pack, put it in storage and then unpack it in storage, pack it in another house. And then when I was finally done playing, it's like, okay, combine everything together and get rid of stuff. And I imagine you're not there yet, but you'll eventually get there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it seems like a lot of things you just like, okay, you have double of, and then you have triple of, and you keep buying because by the time you're like, well, it's actually cheaper to just buy something new than, you know, pack it and ship it anyway. So anyways, it's quite a world, you know, just to get organized and, you know, continue to really, people always say it's one of the most stressful things to do is, you know, move, let alone once, maybe in the same city, but we've been kind of making the runs back and forth across North America the past few years. So anyways, my wife's, you know, been great at that. She's the organized one. And, you know, I just kind of put stuff where I'm told.
Luke Shen is our guest here on First Up. And I'm sure stability and having a place to call home for the next couple of years would be ideal for you, Luke. And I think I speak for everybody who follows the Maple Leafs that you were a very, very important addition to the team at the trade deadline. You were great in the regular season and certainly into the postseason playing with Morgan Riley. What have your conversations been like with the Toronto Maple Leafs about future and extension here in Toronto?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Honestly, it's been, you know, we had conversations a little bit just towards the end of the year. And then, you know, in the last week and a half, obviously, things have kind of risen, I guess, on the Leafs side of things of what they're dealing with. So, yeah, we'll just kind of wait to see. Obviously, they got to sort through some things on their end, and I think there's probably lots of conversations and phone calls that that they're having just to kind of get, like I said, organized on the management side now. So, yeah, I mean, it was all positive. My time in Toronto, and like you said, playing with Morgan, it was you know, great experience, and I, you know, got great opportunity there at the end. And I think it's no secret how much you know, I enjoyed my time in Toronto, and obviously playing there at a young age, it was looking back, I have great memories of it, even though there were some ups and downs, and I was a little bit naive to, you know, the whole situation. And I always kind of thought what it would be like to maybe get another chance back, not thinking to get a chance to go back, even thinking, you know, it probably wouldn't be a reality. And all of a sudden it comes true. And yeah, I enjoyed it a ton this time. But yeah, we'll just see how things shake out here in the next few weeks, I guess. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, something that, you know, I would enjoy to do is to come back for sure.
So, Luke, you were very open when you got traded back here, how much it meant to you, the jersey number, you know, playing in front of Toronto again. And obviously the fans felt it too. They talked about the passion that you played with and the passion that you showed. But when you heard people chanting Luke, how did that feel, like, as a player hearing people chant your name, or were you worried that they were booing you?
No, you know, yeah, I kind of just back, you know, like I said, a lot of memories. It was kind of one of those things that, you know, happened early on. And then I think it was, yeah, the first time I came back and played at home, and they started me versus Carolina, and right away they introduced my name, and you know, I heard it right away, and I just kind of had a little bit of a smile on my face, and, you know, some chills kind of thinking about it, just to see that, you know, obviously how good the fan base is and passionate, but I guess the people remember. So it's you know, obviously, I guess good or bad, I guess you left some sort of impact, so for them to remember, which is a nice compliment. So yeah, obviously, you know, and then kind of things got rolling there in the playoffs, and you'd get in the odd hit in, and people would say it. And I guess I remember the one time is, you know, when I fought at home there too, and going off the ice, I heard it too. And I think I was heading off the ice for a couple stitches, but I heard the crowd, and yeah, that just kind of, you know, makes you feel good that, you know, everyone appreciates, you know, that you're trying and working hard and competing, and that's what it's all about.
Luke Shen is our guest here on First Up. Of course, the team that the Maple Leafs lost to, the Florida Panthers, sweep Carolina. They're in the Cup Final. When you were watching those games in the Eastern Conference Final, Luke, having just played against Florida, were you surprised at the way they were able to play against the Canes? And how surprised are you that at the Florida Panthers, Bobrovsky, Tkachuk, I mean, it's been an unbelievable run for them, that they are in the Cup Finals? That's something you were keeping an eye on.
Yeah, like I watched parts of it. I can't say I've sat down and watched the whole game. Something like, you know, I catch parts here and there, and obviously catch the highlights. But am I surprised? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people talk about it all the time, or, you know, how much talk there is of it. But they did win the President's Trophy last year, and they made a trade that ultimately made them better in the end. So, I mean, obviously, you know, they kind of limped in, I guess you could say, and weren't in a playoff position for very long before they got in. But in saying that, they're obviously a very good team because they got a lot of the same core that they had back last year. And and saying that too, they got some players where, you know, probably don't get enough credit, and, you know, give them credit, because guys like Verhaeghe scores 40 goals, and I think Sam Reinhart's a very underrated player, and obviously Bennett played good, and like you said, Tkachuk, and the list goes on. Their D is kind of playing real well in front of them too. And Bobrovsky, I said this the other day, I was talking to a teammate, but you know, he's kind of making historical goaltending here right now, and dating myself, but I was talking to a teammate the other day, and like the last time you've seen this sort of goaltending was a buddy, or I guess a teammate that I played with in Toronto, was Shiger when he was in Anaheim. So that's, yeah, dating myself quite a bit, but yeah, back in the day when I think he won the Conn Smythe, they didn't even win the cup, but that was the last time I think I've seen goaltending like that. And like I said, I was on a talk show the other day, and the guy was laughing, Don Taylor in Vancouver, that thought I was dating myself like that, that how old I am, remember in 2003 Shiger, and I was laughing. Well, I was teammates with that guy in Toronto, so yeah, it's crazy, everything comes full circle. But no, back to Florida, they're playing great. They play the right way, and they're heavy and hard, and you give them credit, they're playing great, and goaltending makes a difference for sure.
Luke, take us through the events of, you know, what Toronto experienced in the playoffs. You guys win the first playoff series in 19 years. You're a big part of that with your the way you played against Tampa. You did it against your former team. You know, the people talked about the celebration in the room afterwards. What was the reaction when you guys knew that you were going to get Florida in the second round, knowing that you just beat Tampa and didn't have to go through Boston?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a little bit somewhat surprising just based on Boston's regular season. And you know, I think everyone thought, of course, that, you know, you get through Tampa and the next step would be Boston. And obviously wasn't the case. And Florida had an unbelievable comeback in the first round there. And, you know, like I said, got some great goaltending there, allow them to get back in the series and ultimately win that series. But yeah, I mean, the preparation was good. I think once we realized that, you know, they come back and beat Boston and, you know, especially watching their video going into the series and kind of going over their players, it's no joke and they're for real. And like I said, I just think, like, you know, they didn't get a lot of hype throughout the year just because they're kind of up and down on the bubble of making the playoffs or, you know, wild card or whatever it was. And then once you actually kind of look under the hood and see what they got in their lineup, they're pretty damn good. So, I mean, and a lot of guys are just having massive years too. Like, you know, throw Montour in the mix and they're getting, you know, they got some size. They're a heavy group and they just seem to play the right way. No, I think typically when people think of the Florida Panthers in years past, you typically think of a rush team and transition and team, you know, like tries to create lots off the rush and you're kind of a little more high risk. But in the last probably month to 2 months in the regular season, it's almost like they flipped their game in order to get into the playoffs. They kind of transitioned more into like a grinding style team and played the right way, you know, heavy forecheck and that sort of thing. So, yeah, when we played them in the first round and kind of sizing up from our coaches were totally made us aware of where their game was at and how well they were playing. And it wasn't, you know, by accident they got in there and, you know, came out and, you know, they came as advertised for sure.
Luke Shen is our guest here on First Up. Needless to say, you only played for the Toronto Maple Leafs this time around after the trade deadline, but I'm sure you had some type of relationship with Kyle Dubas, then the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. When you saw everything transpire with Dubas and Shanahan last week, what was your reaction, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone, probably a little bit surprised, you know, just based on the fact that, you know, obviously we had our exit meetings and stuff with Kyle. And, you know, I got to say, like, first of all, just when I got traded there, obviously I think my situation with, you know, my family, my wife, you know, being due was kind of, you know, documented. And I couldn't have gone to a better spot as far as how I was treated and the way Kyle handled everything too and making sure that, you know, family was first and taken care of. So I obviously, you know, really appreciate that and have a ton of respect for, you know, how he treated me and took care of us, you know, in that time. But yeah, I think, to answer your question, it's, you never really know. Surprise, I guess is, you know, in one breath, but also not in the same one because, you know, when you're dealing with contracts and negotiations, you just never really know. Right. And it could be, you know, on a management side, it could be on a coach's side, it could be on a player's side until the contract's signed, you just never really know. So, there's the hockey side of things and there's the business side of things. And, you know, typically those things, you know, could go, you know, south or the wrong way sometimes. So, I mean, yeah, I think, everyone had a good relationship with Kyle, but obviously, you know, Brennan Shanahan's a smart hockey man too. So I obviously don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I was back in Vancouver actually already when it happened. So, you know, you exchange texts with a few teammates, but I probably know is less than you do, Carlo.
Well, you mentioned some of your teammates, and I'm curious because Carlo always talks about the epic dinners you guys had in Philadelphia back in 2014 when you were teammates with the Philadelphia Flyers. And how do playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, some of the team dinners you had in 2023 with the Matthews and the Marners compared to team dinners with Carlo Koliakovo back in 2014, Luke?
Carlo can put on a clinic at a team dinner. I'll give you that. And the team pregame meal too. Hey, Carlo. The team dinners. I mean, you can attest to this, Carlo. That's one of the best parts about playing the game is getting the boys out together and, having a glass of wine and just kind of telling the stories. And, that was part of my thing in, Toronto in the playoffs is lining up those dinners for all the boys and, getting the room set up for private rooms and, making sure the meals are ready to go. And I think just I always look back at all my times in my career and, you remember some of the plays, for example, playing with you, do I remember I forget 99% of your games that I played with you and, the plays you made, good or bad, but I'll remember the stories and being out for dinner with the guys and who were, a part of. And I just think if, you get together with the boys and away from the rink and, have a good time and just have some laughs, I think it makes you closer and makes you want to, play harder for the guy next to you. And I think that's just part of, being on a winning team and a winning culture is, being with the guys. So I'm sure you feel the same way about your playing careers. That's what you remember most. And is being with the guys and exchanging the stories and building those relationships.
That's where the best bonds are created and the best stories are always shared. Over a nice meal, surrounded by a good group of guys. Well, Luke, we really, really appreciate you getting up early for us. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. Obviously, we all hope that you return and you're a member of the Maple Leafs next year and years beyond, because you definitely left an impact when you were here. And I think I speak on behalf of a lot of Leaf fans that we want to see you back in blue and white. So hope everything works out for you, buddy.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to the next one. I'm sure it'll be coming soon.
You know it. Maybe a team dinner for us and First Up, too, alongside Luke Shen.
Absolutely.
When and if you are back with the Leafs. Have a great summer, man. Thank you for doing this.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
See you,
all right. Luke Shen. And it's pretty easy to see why he's so well-respected around the National Hockey League. And, I mean, you see the way he plays with such passion and feistiness and energy, and then he brings that same type of respect when you have a conversation with him, too. So thanks to Luke Shen for being part of the show this morning. Jack Armstrong's coming up in about 12 minutes' time. We'll talk about the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. And we got to get the story from Jack about him being with the Buffalo Bills and hanging out with Josh Allen as well, teaching him how to say bonjour.
Hello!
And get that garbage out of here. So we'll talk to Jack. And again, if you missed any of our conversation with Luke Shen, we had Mike Johnson on earlier, Darren Dreger. I mean, it's been and Scott Mitchell, our Blue Jays reporter. It's been a great show guest-wise. Make sure to subscribe to the First Up podcast, and you'll have all the guest interviews, all the hours there, iTunes, Spotify, or the iHeartRadio Canada app. The fourth hour of First Up continues after this.